ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 For our second Bhagavad Gita class today, we are reading from chapter number 7 of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. We wouldn't have any other edition. Not one of those Bhagavad Gitas as it is not editions. This is chapter 7, which is Knowledge of the Absolute. This is text number 14. Daivihyesha gunamai
Daivihyesha gunamai
Mamma maya doratyaya
Mamma maya doratyaya
Mameva ye prapajyante
Mameva ye prapajyante
Mayam etam tarantite
Mayam etam tarantite
Daivihyesha gunamai
Daivihyesha gunamai
Mamma maya doratyaya
Mamma maya doratyaya
Mameva ye prapajyante
Mameva ye prapajyante
Mayam etam tarantite
Mayam etam tarantite
Daivihyesha gunamai
Daivihyesha gunamai
Mamma maya doratyaya
Mamma maya doratyaya
Mameva ye prapajyante
Mameva ye prapajyante
Mayam etam tarantite
Mayam etam tarantite
Daivi
Daivi
Transcendental
Transcendental
He
Certainly
Esha
Thus
Or rather this Gunamayi
Gunamayi
Consisting of the three modes of material nature.
Consisting of the three modes of material nature.
Mama.
Mama.
My. Maya.
Maya.
Energy.
Energy.
Duratyaya.
Duratyaya.
Very difficult to overcome.
Very difficult to overcome.
Mam.
Mam.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Yay.
Yay.
Those who.
Those who.
Prapadyante
Prapadyante
Surrender
Surrender
Mayam etam
Mayam etam
This illusory energy
This illusory energy
Taranti
Taranti
Overcome
Overcome
Te
Te
They
They
Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are a part of his energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original superior power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living beings belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature of matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nitya Padha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. You know what? The cross point. Just like here in Berlin, you used to have Checkpoint Charlie in the old days of, you know. So there's also, you know, that place where you cross between the spiritual and material world. There's no time clock. It's timelessness exists. So there's no way you can measure when you enter the material world, because there's no time at that point where you enter into it. So therefore, we're eternally here while we're here, and once we're out of here and we're in the spiritual world, we're eternally there. It's a little inconceivable, but it's an amazing thing, because there's no time at the point, the juncture between the spiritual and material worlds. Time stops. So you can't measure the time we entered in the material world. We've been here forever. It's immeasurable. And you get back to your original position, it's also immeasurable. It's as if you never left, because there's no past, present, and future in the spiritual world. So once you get back to Krishna's pastime, you've always been there. So it's a little hard with we're so much locked into the time-space continuum right now, it's a little hard to conceive of these things. But this gives a little hint that you're eternally conditioned, because there's no way you can measure or trace how long, when you entered the material world. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by the divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows: Mayam tu prakritam vidyam mayinam tu maheshwaram. Although Maya illusion is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, the personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. Shvetashvatara Upanishad 4.10. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is to be understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. That's what I was telling you earlier. It's not your chanting. You require to be unbound by a person who is unbound. The bound cannot unbind themselves. They require an unbound to unbind them. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna, or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service for Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul. And out of his paternal affection for the living entity, who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender under the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words mam eva are also significant. Mam means under Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of Rajagun, passion, and Tamagun, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya, therefore he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.8, confirm this in the phrase Tam Eva Viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Even Lord Shiva affirms that liberation can be achieved only by the mercy of Vishnu. Lord Shiva says, Mukti Pradata Sarvesham Vishnur Eva Nasamshayaha. There's no doubt that Vishnu is the deliverer of liberation for everyone. Om Agyanati Manandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, it's no wonder that it's so difficult to get out of Maya. Because Maya is an energy of Krishna, the supreme powerful. But if you actually understand what is Maya in relationship with the Supreme Lord, and you take shelter of Krishna directly, you know, by surrender to Him, then, as we say in English, it's a piece of cake to get out of mind. You have to know the technique, that's all. If you're feeling the pangs of the material nature, if you're being bitten by tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun, if you're being bitten by adiyatmik, adibhautik, adidaivik miseries, if you're being bitten by birth and death, old age and disease, then this verse is for you. I think that's all of us. That's all of us. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered underneath can easily cross beyond it. So we have to surrender unto Krishna. Because Krishna is not under the influence of the material nature. Therefore, only Krishna and Krishna alone is qualified to liberate us, or as he acts through his representative, the bona fide spiritual master. That is also Krishna. Krishna acts through the medium of the spiritual master. It is still Krishna. It's not that we surrender to the spiritual master that it's something separate from surrendering to Krishna. That is the process of surrendering to Krishna, to the medium of the spiritual master. Krishna acts through the agency of the spiritual master. Spiritual master is in a state of, he is unbound because he is fully surrendered to his spiritual master, who is fully surrendered to his spiritual master, all the way up to Krishna. So, if we take shelter of such a soul who is not bound by the material nature, then we can easily become released, as described here. Easily cross beyond it. Krishna consciousness, we have heard many times, is simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. One of my aspiring disciples just wrote me, she said, Gurudev, what does it mean to be simple? And I explained to her very simply. To be simple means to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am His eternal servant. And so, it's a very simple thing. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am His eternal servant. If you can simply understand that one thing, you see, and live in that mood, in that simple mood. See, even a child can understand. Just like that Sarasvati, Shamsundara Malati's daughter in Vrindavan. She's a little tiny girl and she would go around saying, do you know, she would approach the adults, the Brijabasis, say, you know who's Krishna? the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada said she's a first-class creature. So all we have to know is Krishna, the Supreme Personality. Don't put your hand in your mouth. You know, the mouth is very dirty. Never? And don't put your hand in your mouth. That's a very dirty habit. In the West, we don't know these things. So Prabhupada had to train us. So I'm just passing on the training from Prabhupada. So, if we simply understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and I'm His eternal servant, that alone will, if we apply that, then we will become free from this, the piercing darts of the material nature. It's a nice simile given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, he realized how he had previously engaged in much academic study. And he said, and I'm realizing that such academic study simply made me into a foolish ass. The more I engaged in it, I became foolish like an ass. And this, he said, this realization is piercing my heart like a burning dart. So, that's a very interesting concept, because normally, you know, the idea of having your heart pierced by a burning dart is considered a very negative thing, I mean, a very painful thing. But actually, we have a, in English, we have a saying called rude awakening. Sometimes, it takes some shock to wake us up. So Bhaktivinoda was feeling a sense of shock or pain. Prabhupada would sometimes have to do that. He'd have to very strongly correct us. And it was shocking. But that's... So Bhaktivinoda was actually feeling that this realization was piercing his heart like a burning dart. Strong medicine may taste very bitter, but if it's the actual proper medicine given by the bona fide physician, then that medicine will have the wonderful effect of curing our disease. Krishna consciousness movement is not a place where you just come and you get flattered. Everyone says, oh yes, everything about you is nice. Everything you do is nice. No, sometimes we have to be corrected. And sometimes it may be shocking to us and a little painful because we're not used to being corrected on little subtle things like that. But those things are very important. They add up. We have to be in the mood of completely surrendering everything. I remember I was trained by Vishnu Jana Maharaj. And Prabhupada confirmed, he said, you've been trained up under the expert guidance of Vishnu Jana Maharaj. So I remember one time I was sitting down at the Prasadam and I offered, you know, I just, you know, sat down like this, offered my obeisances. I had my legs still crossed, you know. He said, that's cheating obeisances. And what? Then I realized, yeah. I was too lazy to uncross my legs, you know, just say, well, I just bow down and keep my legs. I don't have to. Less work. So he told me, he chastised me, those are cheating obeisances. So that was actually quite therapeutic for me to hear that I was, even when offering obeisances, I was a cheater. That was very therapeutic. That now, just because I have tilak on, you know, I shave my head, I'm so-and-so das brahmachari, that now, you know, I'm pure devotee now. Everything I do is perfect. No. Actually very good to hear from you, you know, from senior Vaishnavas, superior devotees, and what we're doing wrong. It's very beneficial for us to do that, to have that mercy from them. Because then we have some room to improve. I think I'm doing everything perfectly. How will I advance? Just consider this. Are you seeing Krishna face to face at every minute? Are you seeing Krishna face to face, eye to eye at every minute? If you're not, you're doing something wrong. And if somebody comes along and tells you you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you know what they're doing? They're helping us move closer to that point where we can see Krishna face to face, eye to eye. We shouldn't think, well, now, you know, I have this service, I have this position, so nobody can correct. No. Prabhupada, one time I heard him say on a tape, he said, the more the student is chastised, the more he is advanced. The more he's chastised, the more he's advanced. The student, he said, the student who is more chastised, this was the exact quote, the student who is more chastised, he is advanced. That was the exact quote. Lord Chaitanya himself was chastised by his Guru Maharaj. He said, you're too stupid to understand Vedanta. That's what he told him. You are less intelligent. You cannot understand Vedanta. Just chant Hare Krishna, that's your service. You're not intelligent enough to understand Vedanta philosophy. He was chastised by his spirit. Lord Chaitanya was chastised. So what is our position? If Lord Chaitanya is chastised for being a fool who can't understand Vedanta, then where are we? So it really pays off to have a proper understanding of our philosophy. It pays off handsomely, actually. It really does. Because then we can really understand what nonsense we are. And then whatever mercy comes to help us get out of our nonsense mentality, we can take it with gratitude, with gratefulness, not begrudgingly. We can take it with gratitude. So I can ask now, if any of you have some questions, how to overcome the obstacles on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead.
You talk about this duplicity and
about the what?
About the duplicity.
About duplicity.
Yes.
Okay.
And for me, it's quite hard to catch this, because in my conscious, in my small awareness of my conscious, I think I'm not duplicitous.
Right.
But if I'm really not duplicitous, I would chant purely, because,
right,
you know.
Right.
So, but how to catch this unconscious thing?
That's why we need each other, Prabhu. You see, it's practically impossible for me to see my own duplicity, my own cheating mentality. But it, you know, because of our fault-finding tendency, it's easier for us to see it in others. That's why we need to have good, loving, trusting relationships with devotees, because we can practically never see our own duplicitous nature, because of, you know, the false pride is there. That's why we still think I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a German, I'm an American, I'm Israeli, right? So that's why we need each other, because the other devotees can see, you know, they can easily spot it. Just even by our body language, they can spot our, you know, pride and our duplicity. Even by body language, it shows up sometimes. The way people hold their body, body language can reveal it also. Others can see, just from our posture, they can see that we're, you know, we're making a show of being a peaceful devotee, but actually we're agitated like anything. And they can try to help us over it by saying, Prabhu, this, what you did was not right. This attitude you have is not right. You have to rectifying. So that's why we need each other. We should have relationships with devotees who can correct us. It could be a close friend, it could be our temple president, it could be our spiritual master. Of course, the spiritual master is meant to play that role. It could be our spouse also. We should have close relationships with devotees who can help us see our faults and help us get over those things. That's a very vital thing that each and every one of us needs. We need devotees who can point out our faults. In Bombay, we heard one devotee, Brahmachari, gave a class. He said, if there's somebody who finds fault with you, invite them to move in. Move him into your house with you. Your critic, you should invite them to move in. Please come and live in my house. You see. Invite your critic to come and live with you. Because that's when you really make progress in spiritual life. So that the key is Vaishnava Sangha. Association of devotees. Because, you know, I'll never see my faults, you'll never see your faults, but you can see my faults and I can see your faults. If we help each other, then we can advance nicely. Questions, Mark? So, we can stop here. We thank you very much. Rajavija, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.
Yeah, yeah.
But before you go away, we have special mercy from Simhachala, the Mahaprasad of Lord Nrisingadev.
Thank God.